This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. You may have heard about telomeres. They're the little protective caps at the end of DNA, and these telomeres get shorter and shorter with age. Scientists use the length of these caps to give you a biological age. There's even a personal genomics company out there that claims to tell you, well, how well you're aging through your telomeres, what your telomere age is. But there's one animal that might be able to reverse this process. My next guest is here with news of the animal that holds the key to this genetic fountain of youth, along with other selected short subjects in science. Amy Nordstrom is an associate editor at the IEEE Spectrum. She's here in our CUNY studios. Welcome back. Good to see you.
Thanks, Ira.
Did you have a good holiday?
I had a great one.
That's great. Let's talk about, so what animals work out, you know, what are we talking about that's reversing?
Well, the edible dormouse, it turns out.
The what?
The edible dormouse, so named because apparently the Romans used to keep these in clay pots and fatten them up with nuts in order to eat them. A little tiny rodent found in the Western European region. These guys have the remarkable ability to actually lengthen their telomeres over time. There's a study out of Vienna from the University of Veterinary Medicine there. Researchers put 130 nest boxes out in the woods and tested cheek swabs from these edible dormice over the course of 3 years to measure their telomere length over that time. They actually found that the telomeres shorten for the first couple years of the mice's life, just like they do in most animals. But between the ages of 6 and 9, the telomeres actually lengthen, which is very unusual. So this is the first time they think that anybody has observed such a phenomenon in the wild.
And do we have any idea why they're able to do this?
We don't really know, but they have a theory, and that theory is that the edible dormice have an interesting reproductive strategy where they do not reproduce in years when the food supply is low, and this probably leads them to reproduce later in life than the average rodent, and that's a problem because reproduction is also known to shorten your telomeres. So they might have evolved a strategy by which they can actually lengthen their telomeres at a time when they would otherwise be vulnerable with age and with late reproduction to actually having them shorten. So this might be a strategy that helps them preserve their telomeres condition over time. And it seems to be working. The dormice can live up to 13 years old.
13?
Right.
And a regular mouse is much shorter than that.
Yeah, just a few years, maybe 2 or 3, maybe four. So it's a pretty remarkable extension of their lifespan.
Now, I know because we've done stories about the naked mole rat. It's not as cute, but it can live up to 30 years. Do you know with the naked mole rat if that's a similar type of thing going on there?
Well, the naked mole rat has a couple different strategies that it uses for such a long lifespan. So for one, it lives underground almost all the time. So it's immune to predators and being found by them. Another thing is that it seems to really not be so subject to cancer. And many, many mice die from cancer, almost all of them. So the mole rat has perhaps evolved a strategy to prevent dying from cancer, and some scientists have suggested that it expresses a certain gene whereby the cells in the naked mole rat can kind of sense when they're overcrowding themselves and stop replicating, and that's key to preventing cancer, they think, because obviously cell replication getting out of control is something that leads to cancer in mice and other animals.
Interesting. Let's go to another subject. I know that you visited a company that is working to develop wireless broadband, not cellular phones, something different.
That's right. This is something different. So it's like the broadband internet that you get at home on your laptop or your desktop, hopefully. This is a company called Starry, based out of Boston, Massachusetts. And they've been experimenting since the start of this year with a really innovative way to deliver broadband internet. You know, usually we have to go out and dig up a bunch of streets and, you know, install these fiber optic cables under buildings to pipe internet service to people's homes for these high speeds that we want with broadband. But Starry thinks that they can do it over the air through base stations, kind of similar to what you would have seen in a cellular network.
So like on a cell tower, you'd have one of these transmitters.
Right, exactly. One of Starry's proprietary kind of custom-built base stations. And then they have a particularly interesting way of receiving internet. So they ask customers to install an antenna outside their window that captures the signal and brings it into their homes. They're using here high-frequency millimeter waves, which are a section of the spectrum that really hasn't been used before for anything else. There's a lot of extra bandwidth. And if they can pull it off, this could be a much cheaper way to deliver really fast internet.
So we're talking about a pilot program right now in Boston?
Right now, they have only installed one base station. I went up and saw it on the roof of a data center.
N equals one.
Right. But they hope to expand that trial to maybe a half dozen sites by, you know, middle of next year and sign up some beta customers in the Boston area. And then they've applied for licenses from the FCC to do more tests in about 14 different cities across the U.S., including Chicago, Denver, Seattle, and L.A.
And this is the head of this company is the guy who created Aero, right, to disrupt cable TV. But the Supreme Court said,
It's the same guy.
Same guy.
And so he shouldn't run into the same exact challenges in this case. You know, the TV broadcasters, cable providers were asking him to pay licensing fees for the content that he was rebroadcasting. In this case, he'll just, you know, he's just hoping to send internet signal. But he will face competition. There's a lot of other companies, including Verizon and AT&T, that are hoping to do a similar thing. So it's good that they're already in beta because the competition's going to heat up.
Yeah, the big guys come in. And your last story puts a twist on the saying, cat got your tongue? This is interesting about cats.
Absolutely. You know, cats are highly evolved creatures if you think about it. I mean, their paws are suited to helping them, you know, creep around very quietly. They have this remarkable ability to twist themselves around in the air when they're falling and so that they can land on their feet. And it turns out their tongues are also highly evolved to help them with grooming, which is something that they spend about 50% of their waking hours doing. So I talked with a PhD candidate at the Georgia Institute of Technology, Alexis Noel, who's been looking into this matter of cat tongues and how they're so well adapted to grooming. And she describes these spikes, keratin spikes, that are on the surface of their tongue. These spikes lay flat most of the time, but the cats have the ability to flex their tongue in such a way that they pop up when they start to groom. And the spikes are curved on the end so that when they pull them through a tangle in their fur, they can actually pull out that tangle pretty effectively.
Sounds like Velcro. Like their tongues are made out of, you know, one side of the Velcro pad.
It is. It's really remarkable. A very effective grooming technique. And there's, you know, 200 or 300 of these spikes on any cat's tongue. So it's pretty high density. And, you know, the strategy of laying them flat and keeping them out of the way the rest of the time is a pretty clever one.
You know, but it would also explain why cats get so many hairballs, because they're so good. These spikes really pull the stuff.
Right. I mean, that's the hazard of having basically a hairbrush on your tongue is there, you know, there are the hairs that get stuck in their mouth. And the next step for Alexis will be she's trying to actually figure out what goes on in the cat's mouth when those spikes lay flat. She thinks that's when the hairs, you know, slide down the back of the cat's throat. But it's, you know, it's tough to get inside the mouth of a cat. It's hard to put a video camera in there. So she's going to look into trying to use some X-ray technology to figure out what's going on inside of those cats' mouths.
They do have a mind of their own.
They're notoriously difficult test subjects. It's really hard to get a cat to do what you want it to do.
We'll stay tuned and see what happens.
Absolutely.
I guess you can't try this at home. So, Amy Nordstrom, thank you.
Thank you.
Amy is associate editor at the IEEE Spectrum right here in New York.